when it's time for another round of racing and rocking with Dragnus.com. Staging in the left lane is your host, founder and creator of the Draglist, Bill Pratt. And in the right lane, John, the Wildcat One. You're going to hear news and interviews from the world of drag racing, both now and then. So get yourself situated, pull your belts tight, grab your favorite beverage, and get ready for some racing and rocking.
Happy Monday, everybody. Welcome to Racing and Rocking with Draglist.com, produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. I'm Bill Pratt. It's great to be with you tonight because tonight we feature 2017 NHRA Pro Modified Champion Troy Coughlin. Cannot wait to talk to Troy. I'm going to ask some racing questions. John's going to ask some rocking questions. You can join our live chat during the show at racersreunion.com or check us out at Facebook Live on the Draglist.com fan page, and we're live broadcasting there as well. Without further ado, Troy Coughlin, welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys. It's an honor and a pleasure to be on the show for sure. Pretty excited to be here.
Thank you so much. And, oh, my gosh, congratulations on that championship. It was down to the wire. Tell us about that last race.
I'll tell you what, it seems like the last 6 or 7 years it's been like that all the way down to the wire, but this year was pretty sweet. You know, it couple races, we had one race where we didn't DNQ for in Atlanta, Georgia, and the rest of the races we did pretty decent at. But what a season we've had. I mean, pretty excited about all the guys that work on the race team, and you know, just wow, what can I say? I mean, just we were like 8 or 9 rounds out of first place about halfway through the season, and our second half was just strong. And, you know, we tested all spring and summer and just preparing for the last couple races in the fall, and just turned out fantastic. Couldn't be more excited. And then with getting championship and stuff on top of that just makes it that much sweeter for sure.
I tell you, it's great when you kind of climb out of a hole like that. I mean, you know, the other guys were, you know, they were not laying down. You had to go out and beat some of the big boys and just sneak up on them round by round, race after race. I mean, did you, back in, you know, eight rounds out, did you think you had a shot at this thing? Or when did it start to look like it was going to turn around for you?
Well, when we were 8 or 9 rounds back, we were just thinking to ourselves, let's just try and finish in the top four. And then the next thing you know, we went to the next 3 races we went to. We won one of them and was runner-up in 2 of them. And the guy that was in first place, Mike Castellana, just happened to get beat in the first or second round of each one of those races. And within 3 or 4 races, we were within about 3 or 4 rounds. And we just, again, hats off to the guys that work on my car. You know, Steve Petty, Mike Reese, and Kyle Pettis, and, you know, Eric and Doug from Proline Racing. I mean, what a deal. Those guys made it much, much easier with the horsepower and getting the car down the track for sure.
But I'll tell you, about half of Central Ohio wears a yellow shirt during race season, doesn't it? You guys have a pretty good market, a corner on the market there in the Columbus area, but do appreciate the JEG support for all of drag racing, but certainly you guys put it on the track as well.
Yeah, it's we're very fortunate to have the, you know, 400 plus associates that we work with day in, day out at JEGS.com, and you know, taking care of business when me and my brothers and the whole family's on the road racing, promoting JEGS.com, and you know, we're very blessed to have, again, you know, 400 plus people working there and helping us get the job done at home while we're getting the job done at the racetrack. And then you mix everything back together from the races through customer service and stuff like that, and the website and the phones and stuff. It's pretty cool stuff for sure.
You bet. Heck of an enterprise. Well, you got another big announcement that I just heard about, and that's Troy Coughlin has decided to hang it up for a while. Tell us about your retirement.
Okay. I've been thinking about this for a couple of years, and I just kept saying to myself, now let's go one more year. And then we finished second in 2016, and then I said to myself, you know what, it would be great to go out on top at some point in time, and about halfway, three quarters of the way through the 17 season, we started to realize that we had a shot at this. And I'm like, man, how cool would that be to take a step back from the driver's compartment after winning a championship? And it's pretty exciting. So kind of what we're going to do now is, you know, all the technology that we were racing with, we'll go back to Pro-Line racing engines. And I got four kids, Megan, TJ, Paige, and Kelly. And TJ and Megan are currently racing, so we're going to help them with their programs and try and see if they can't, you know, just help them get theirs up to being as perfect as ours have been. Mm-hmm. And then back in the business, we hired a new fellow that is going to help us run the company. So, you know, just kind of re-get back into the company a little bit more and working closely with the people that are making this thing sing. So I'm kind of excited about it. I mean, I'll be at the races a lot through the kids and watching my brother Jag, my brother Mike run, and watching John's son Cody race in the truck series. And there's tons and tons of racing that's still going to take place. I just won't be sitting in the driver's seat. So I'll just be watching the kids do their thing. And that's pretty exciting. It really is. I can remember when we used to hound on my dad a little bit when he stopped racing. And he says, you know, someday you're just going to know. You'll just know when it's time. And so it was kind of interesting. It kind of hit you like a brick in the face, if that's what the right word is. But so it's going to be pretty neat. I'm looking forward to the next couple of years, and I'll be home a lot more. Which if my wife Julie decides to, you know, she might say, "Hey, you need to go back out with your guy friends and go racing and get out of the house because you have way too many more suggestions being home this much." So you never know. Yeah.
We'll have to see if Julie does a thumbs up or thumbs down on this deal after a couple of months and see what's going on.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah, she might think I have too much to say at home, and she might say, you know, you need to go hang out with your guy friend. Go racing. So, but
well, is the Pro-Line team going to run the car next year with a different driver, or have they decided what they're doing?
Yeah, we already have, or they, or we already have a couple guys that they're lined up with now, and then they're taking that particular spot over. So yeah, everybody's pretty much taken care of on the home front of the mechanical guys and the crew chiefs and stuff like that. So which is exciting to me, because you want to see guys continue to grow in the sport.
Sure.
and keep on going. So Steve Petty and Mike Reese will be out there 100%, and then Kyle Pettis is going to be working with us back in the company, along with Mike Reese as well. And so I'm excited. I get the band's kind of still together somewhat, and we're just taking a little bit different avenue. So it's pretty exciting.
Sounds pretty
good.
Cool.
Changes.
Yeah, it sounds like good. You know, if you're making the decision yourself, it's awesome. So
yeah,
tell us a little bit about... Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, it's just something that I've been thinking about for a couple of years, and we happened to win the championship, and I was walking up on stage for getting the trophies and that kind of stuff, and I'm like looking all around the, you know, where they had the ceremony out in Las Vegas, just looking around trying to take it all in and say, I don't know if I'm ever going to get back up here again. So I got to kind of suck all this stuff up. So, and it was pretty sweet for sure. Good times. A lot of good times we've had over the last 30 some years of racing, or at least in my life of 31 or 32 years I've been doing this. So,
I remember back in the days. I remember that Oldsmobile. Remember the...
Oh, my gosh.
been tracking cool. You a while.
Yep, that sounds like it. Those were good times back then, too, and it was fun to grow into the sport, you know, class by class. Just keep working your way towards the top, getting into the professional ranks, and met a lot of really good friends. And, you know, you got your home family, and you got the racing family that's on the road and stuff too. So pretty blessed with a lot of good friends out there and stuff, so which makes it that much more fun to keep going.
Absolutely. Well, we got we mentioned a couple of your crew guys, and I'm sure they were glad to hear from you. Got any other shout outs you want to send while we have you on the radio?
Well, I'll tell you what, thanking the good Lord for sure for giving us the abilities to do all this, and And special thanks to my mom and dad, and my stepmom and dad as well, my wife Julie and the kids, like we were talking about, and all my brothers, John, Mike, and Jag, and their families. Again, Steve Petty, Mike Reese, and Kyle Pettis. I mean, those guys are second to none in the drag racing world, from crew to crew chief to fabricators. They even drive the car for testing and stuff like that, so I can stay back at Jags.com and work. And you know, just, and everybody back at Jags, like I said, I mean, the following that we have there, and, you know, you come back from a race on Sunday after you win or runner up or so, and it's a topic of discussion in a lot of our meetings with our purchasing people and accounting people and stuff. So it's pretty exciting to come back to, for sure.
That's cool. They're all into it. Huh? They're not just collecting check. They're part of the team.
Oh, yeah. When I announced the retirement, about six of them came into the office within about 5 minutes and said, "What are you doing? Why are you doing this? You're right in the middle of everything. I mean, why would you want to just take and turn this off?" And it's like, I don't know. Sometimes I question myself, but that's just a decision that we made, you know, to try and help the kids with all their racing and stuff as they're growing up into it and working the business. So, which is good stuff, and they bought into it.
Well, it's really exciting. Well, tell us about what are some of the cars they're going to be running next year?
My daughter Paige is racing what they call a super comp dragster, and runs about 180, 185 miles an hour. My son TJ is going to be racing a couple cars that are similar to that, and he's also working on his Top Fuel. He's been into the Top Fuel class last year for probably 15, 16 races, and he's putting together a program to continue that in 2018. So I don't know how those guys, I don't know how they do that 330-some mile an hour stuff in the quarter mile, but it is pretty exciting, and it's a blast to have somebody to cheer for sure. And then, you know, then I got my brother Mike, who races Top Dragster, and his son races Junior Dragsters. And Jeggy, my youngest brother, runs Pro Stock. And my brother John's son Cody races in the truck series, in the NASCAR truck series. So there's tons of stuff going on for sure.
For sure. Well, let's not forget the Pro Stock trucks, where Jeggs was a big, you know, component for a couple of years. You know, the four amazing years that he ran it. But
Yeah, we had a great success in that the last couple of years, for sure. It was a pretty fun class.
Absolutely. Well, it sounds like, you know, it sounds like week after week, NHRA is giving Pro Mod a little bit more of its due and really starting to feature you guys. And I mean, that's pretty exciting. For a while, you're kind of the outsiders there, but it sounds like they've really kind of pulled the program together.
Yeah, NHRA has shown a lot of love towards the class. I mean, you know, we have 30 to 32 cars that try and qualify for 16 spots, and it's just getting tougher and tougher. You know, the competition's getting, everybody's just on their A game. The cars aren't blowing up as much, and they're getting faster, and everybody's kind of gaining speed on this thing. So it's great. It's an awesome class to watch, because, you know, they're kind of wild and crazy looking. And they're tough to drive. They're probably one of the tougher cars in drag racing to drive, although I've never driven a Top Fuel dragster or a funny car, but a lot of the funny car guys said they would not take and step into one of our cars. So that was kind of interesting for sure. But
I have a picture of John Force saying, "Boy, those guys are crazy." He was talking to Johnny Rocca back when they had that Iron Horse 51. I think it's when Rocca ran over the tree and then, you know, backed up still ran the race. Because the Indian guys are crazy.
and we say that about those guys. We think those guys are crazy for what they're doing. But when the passion's there, it's tough to turn it down, for sure.
I'll tell you what, y'all crazy fast and crazy fun to watch you, that's for sure. I tell you what, I'm going to turn you over to John, and let's listen a little bit of the musical story of the 2017 championship season.
Yeah, Troy, did y'all have a theme song or a special kind of music that you like to listen to when y'all were doing all this?
Wow, good question. The the difference in music between the four of us that are running the car and stuff was way different. So I'm just going to shout out the Ohio State fight song.
That's cool.
There's a mix of music, and it's usually an argument on who gets the remote control on which channel comes in. So, mix of stuff.
Well, I'm all for diversity myself. I can't take a steady diet of any one style of music. So, if y'all mixed it up, that's great. Then you have a little bit of everything.
Elbows hitting each other and griping about each other's music, but we all got along pretty good. We made it work.
Shoot, that's great, man. Well, when you were in your championship run, say the last race at Pomona, did you have a song in your head that got you pumped up to go out there and win?
Wow. I don't know that any certain song, but just kind of mixed it up between, believe it or not, the Rolling Stones, Bruce Springsteen, and Motley Crue.
All right.
Which are different ends of the spectrum, but, just depending on where we're racing,
It's more on the rock side, Well, the Stones are always great, And always have some really hard driving tunes, and I'm familiar with Motley Crue, but I know they have a couple of songs that I can think of offhand. But Springsteen, yeah, man, he's the guy. Yeah. He's got it all. So did you when you have off time and you're not involved in racing or anything, do y'all ever go to any concerts or?
Oh yeah, we've been to the Eagles a couple times, which was a fantastic show, awesome show. Joe Walsh, all those guys are the man. They're all classics for sure. Hit a couple Rolling Stones. Went to a Kiss and a Motley Crue concert at the same time, which was quite a riot.
Wow. I bet that was.
Bruce Springsteen. 10th Avenue North, which is a Christian band down in Florida. Uh-huh. And I don't know, just a mix of all of them. I like all kinds of different music, and not really set on one, but just depends on what you're doing. If you're driving down the road, it's like Dire Straits or the Smiths or, you get kids in the car. 21 Pilots is always popular, and Sanctus Real is a pretty strong Christian group as well. I listen to those guys the most recently, but I like it all. There's really no super favorite, and just wherever, whatever channel's on the radio, you just keep pushing the channel button until the song comes on that you like, and that's what you roll with. Depends on the mood.
So. Yeah, I'm driving my wife's car. She likes to listen to the light rock station, Sunny 99.1. Every once in a while, they have a song that I can really dig, but a lot of the times I just change the channel. I try to find some Led Zeppelin or something, But put that back. I like that song. Okay.
And then while you're changing the channel, go ahead and do the preset too, so that it always goes to it next time too. That usually goes over pretty well.
We got all kinds of tips from the world champ, ladies and gentlemen. We're running out of time here. Got to wrap it up. Troy Coughlin, congratulations once again on a great season. Best of luck in the off season and with your kids running. It sounds like some good stuff about to start happening. And have a great holiday season.
All right, thanks, gentlemen. And you guys have a safe, Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year's. And we will talk soon.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Troy.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, okay. Troy Coughlin, your 2017 NHRA Pro Modified Champion, who came in there and took it at the last race with a great, exciting season. Let's turn it over to John Bachman for this week's JB's Take and the Racer of the Week. Take it away, John.
Thanks, BP. My pick for Racer of the Week is Bobby Hansen from East Moline, Illinois. Bobby was recommended to me by her daughter, Mercedes Stark. Thank you, Mercedes. Bobby is a popular and competitive sportsman racer in the Quad Cities area, and her 68 Camaro, the Green Bean, is a mean machine. Bobby sent me some great info. Now, her bio is not all being a racer. She's been going to the track since she was a little girl with her dad. As an adult, she's helped him race when possible. And in 2005, Bobby started working at Cordova as her parents had moved to New Mexico. She needed to stay involved with racing more than just being a spectator. So she was hired and worked as the computer operator at Cordova. She's also done some work for NHRA, running the computer for the U.S. Nationals a few years and a few other national events. She's done some traveling and worked some IHRA, national events, traveling to Canada and the World Finals in Memphis a couple of times. In 2014, Bobby accepted the race director position at Cordova and held that position until the end of the season in 2016. Bobby's first experience actually driving a race car was the fall of 2007 when she met and started dating Terry Toppert. He taught her to drive his Camaro and she made 4 passes that day. It was quite a rush. After that, all she wanted to do was drive something or anything. Bobby's dad had always mentioned to her, "Someday I'll let you drive my car." Well, during the 2008 season, Terry managed to talk him into not waiting anymore, and in the spring of 2009, Bobby jumped into her dad's 1991 Spitzer Dragster and got her competition license, running an ET in the low 8-second range. She finished 8th in the class that first year. She bought the car from her dad, and for the 2010 season, Terry changed the motor, which sped the car up to high 7s, for low ET at about 164 miles per hour, and for the next few years, Bobby raced in the points series races, but continued working in the tower during all the other weekends. She raced the dragster through the first part of the 2012 season, but after car issues with no funds to repair them, she went back to working weekends in the tower. She sold the car that winter. Now, although Terry and Bobby went their separate ways in 2015, they remained close friends. Then in 2016, she was still working every weekend at the track, and Terry ended up with very aggressive cancer and passed away in July. It was then that Bobby decided working 7 days a week was no longer in the cards for her. There is more to life than working. She had just been very rudely reminded of how short life can be. Terry left her his precious 1968 Camaro. He bought it in 1980 when he was 16 years old. Knowing Terry's goal was to get it back on the track, that is what she set out to do. And that would not have been possible without the help of another amazing racer, Steve Marquis. Steve put in a lot of hard work in the 2016 to 2017 winter, getting the green bean ready for the track again, and the 1968 Camaro Z28 is now sporting a 468 big block Chevy motor, a Power Glide tranny with a trans brake, a Dana 60 rear end with 430 gears running on methanol at about a 600 horsepower. Now, Bobby's best ET with her is a 1036 at 127 miles per hour the first weekend out. She got her first win ever in a race car at Byron this summer, winning the Car Chicks Breast Cancer Race August the 19th. Her other win on a racetrack was late in 2016 in Steve's 35-foot motorhome, but that's a whole other story. And Bobby sends special thanks to her dad, Dan Gibson, for introducing her to this amazing sport. Steve Marquis for getting her back in the seat of a race car, getting and keeping the car running, and for all the love, support, and encouragement. And to her children, Mercedes, Cameron, and Courtney, for all their constant support. Bobby Hansen, we wish you good luck, safe racing, and the best of times in the future. Back to you, BP.
Thank you, John. Good stuff. And let's talk about our lost friends. We have quite a list, as we missed a week. And it always seems to ramp up a little bit at the end of the year, but thanks to these folks for a wonderful life, for being great friends, and for the thrills they've provided us on the track and off. On October 28th, Mary Jane Black, the widow of Keith Black of Keith Black Racing Engines, passed away, well-loved among the Southern California scene. Stephen Skrobak, head of grounds at Lancaster Raceway, passed away on November 13th. On the 16th, Bill Lerner, the paperboy, AA funny car racer from the East Coast, passed away. On the 17th, Dick Miles, the ITRA and announcer at Elk Creek, passed away. Mike O'Neill was a racer at Famosa. He passed away on 11/26. On the 27th, J.R. Bloom, the hot rodder, passed away. On the 11/27th, Ray Meyer, the owner of Performance Specialty, left us. On 11/27, Ed Eaton, the original NHRA Division I director, well-loved on the East Coast, passed away. On the 29th, Rick Monteforte, a racer at Epping, New Hampshire, passed away. And on the 30th, Terry McHardy, well-liked 53 Willys racer, has been in part of the nostalgia scene for a long time, passes. And on 11/30, Roger England, the Indy winner, it was an Indy winner in Superstock, farewell to Roger. On the 2nd, close to home for a lot of our photographer friends, and especially a great guy, a friend online, Bob Rice, passed away on the 2nd. And on the 6th, another terrific photographer and a personal friend, and a friend to many, many folks up and down the East Coast for many, many years, Jeff Tinsley, passed away after a long battle with cancer. Jeff not only was a drag racing photographer, he was one of the featured photographers for the Smithsonian Institution downtown here in D.C. So I got to see Jeff in both his lives as a photographer, a really, really great guy, and we'll miss him. And so farewell to all of our friends, and of course condolences to the family members and many, many friends. Let's go ahead and wrap this up, folks. We want to thank Troy Coughlin, who was great. Congratulations on the championship and good luck in retirement. But I have a feeling he'll be back. At least he'll be at the races. John Bachman, of course, my outstanding co-presenter. Danny White, of course, back at draglist.com, Supercrew World Headquarters, putting in tons of updates. Jeff and Dustin Gilder, Barb Santucci, our intrepid producer and bud, Mr. Drag News DeBoer, the other producer who takes care of us from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. By the way, before I do wrap, I want to thank Phil Burgess of NHRA. I didn't mention this. We weren't on last week. Phil did a fantastic story on draglist.com in his National Dragster column, and I want to thank him. We're getting a lot of racers reaching out to us and updating their stuff, and really, really appreciate it, Phil. It was wonderful. National Dragster, one of the first guys that put us on the map back in the 80s when we came out with our little booklet version of the drag list, and 20 years later, they hooked us up again with a really nice story, so thanks to that.
You know, I got a message from Danny White on Facebook, and he said, "We big time," and he put that link in there, and I clicked on it, and I just like to fell out of my chair, man. That was one of the greatest articles I ever saw.
Very nice of him to do that for us.
Yes, it was.
Danny is big time. Danny is part of the 50th anniversary NHRA Top Racers Selection Committee, and he just did the same thing for their top funny cars that they did a couple years ago. So.
Mm-hmm.
Insider. We got all the insiders here, guys. All right, let's wrap it, folks. I quit patting myself on the back. My arm's starting to hurt. Thanks, of course, to Jeff Gilder, our fantastic producer in studio, as always. Let's say adios. Next week, we're going to be talking with 2017 NHRA Central Region Top Alcohol Dragster Champ, Megan Meyer. It'll be nice to talk to Megan again and congratulate her on the big win. Folks, have a wonderful week. We will see you next week for Megan Meyer. Adios, everybody. Knowing the outlaw down on me. They took us back to El Paso town. The days when